probably be, you've been to the loss, you've asked quite carefully between the railway, the later, and Barossa. From the news reports, it implied that Barossa was going to present some kind of plan report to convince the rail regulator that they were justified to continue their work. Well, after today's presentation and responses so far, I'm more discouraged and depressed than ever before. Because the current board is more of the same than the previous boards, and the current leadership is more of the same rhetoric than before. No solutions, no imagination, nothing new, nothing exciting. Everything's in 12 months or 2 years or 25 years. Not one solution about what's happening today as trains are burning down the road, but one solution of what needs to be done today. So let it go. You can keep on hearing about reports and, you know, blah, 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 boring to hell. That's the bottom line. Now, Chair, during the constituency period, last few months, I've been personally travelling various routes out of the country and actually experiencing, or at least trying to experience what some of the communities in this country experience on a daily basis. What I experienced in each case just once was horrific. I can't imagine doing it for every day of your life, in the morning and evening. And I'm actually surprised how people can't connect to the people outside of it when they were protesting and standing in their placards. Because I'd be mad, hopping mad. I'm not one man, I agree with my colleagues, and can't justify any vandalism or any infrastructure. Of course it's wrong. But I certainly understand this. I can tell you, I believe that it's the last resort that these people have tried, because they've tried and tried and tried, and simply ignored. So if I can give you some examples of what I mean that could be done, it's just not simply not being done. In one of our visits, I went to the Pretoria Central train station. It was a few days after some cable theft had taken place at that station. So one of the platforms didn't have the trains coming onto the platform because the cables had been stolen literally a few days before. About 2 days before. But the only announcement was that I made. All the others were unannounced. And so at that particular visit, Prasa was very kind enough to arrange some people to talk to me and so forth. And I went and personally walked to where the cables were stolen. And I asked them, because by the way, the cables were stolen, were literally 200 meters away from the platform, walking distance. So I was at where the cables were stolen. And I asked the officials, how did the cables get stolen? They're right here. And the reason is because the lights weren't on. The lights weren't working. And the reason why the lights weren't working is because they didn't have a light to a bulb to put in. That's the kind of solution that I'm talking about. Not the fancy nonsense about drones and all that rubbish, sorry, if I almost said that. All the other rubbish that they've spoken about. Prasa is not simply doing the basics. For goodness sakes, the lights need to be put in and a bulb needs to be put in. Because criminals like the dark. That's how they operate. They like it when there's no lights. So there's one thing that you can tick in the box. Get all the lights working. Make sure that every bulb is working. Next is, I mean, I could go on and on, but I mean, I'll give you some very simple examples of how that we deal with things today. The announcements, first of all, half the speakers aren't working. Secondly, the announcer needs to be trained. Sounds like a cock crowing in the middle of the morning. So a properly trained announcer, where you can understand what that announcer is saying and doesn't sound like they're screaming at a load of rugby players. Simple things like that. International examples where if you play some Baroque music in background very softly to your speakers, it will cost you nothing. It may cost you a few rands from to pay the music rights authority. You can play some Baroque music and it's shown internationally that people's stress levels get reduced and violence get reduced. These are all real concrete things that can happen today. We're spending minimal amount of money without requiring special authorization, all that kind of stuff. All I've seen this morning is lack of imagination, nothing new, it's all more of the same. And as a result, we're getting more of the same result, which is late trains, burning trains, unhappy commuters, and so on and so on. That's what's happening. I happened to be doing tea time this morning, talking to one of the board members, who I didn't know was copied in the email that I've been, or email correspondence I've been communicating with, for over 2 years. And all these commuters are asking, they're in prison all the time. They're just asking for trains to work to get on time. They're not asking anything special. For trains to work, for the big trains to arrive on time, just for the basics. The Metro Rail to do the very basics. So I went and actually took a train from Crossmore to Durban. This is about 2 months ago. I was there at 5 in the morning. I saw old goggles waiting at 5 in the morning, freezing cold, still winter. Didn't have a single place to sit. Pregnant woman standing alone. No place to sit. Because they were waiting for the train, it should have arrived at 6:30, but only arrived at 7:30. The place was filthy. It was disgusting. It was unsafe. It's not complicated. Do a liquid paint on your stations. But that's too complicated, too difficult. When you talk about the 12 months time, you don't talk about today. Because it's convenient to talk about the future, because today actually means that you do something. So Crossmore had these constant problems. I was getting these emails to you. So I took the train, spoke to people who were on a daily basis. I met a young man whose leg had been hurt, yet had been hospitalized because other commuters had ran over his leg because they were trying to get out of the train. I mean, the stories go on forever. And so this board member told me the problem has been resolved. Well, I purposely went back on my email. The problem hasn't been resolved. The officials refuse to meet these commuters, and when they do meet, they treat them like rubbish. That's what happened. And I'm hearing this high pitch of nonsense all morning about what they're doing. They're doing nothing. Until the trains start getting on time, until commuters start being happy with your service, which, by the way, your statistics, I don't believe, it's nothing going to change. The trains are continuing burning, you're going to be unhappy, you're going to move away from rail, you go somewhere else. It's not rocket science. So the problem is across the way not sort of being sorted out. It's still as dangerous as ever at the younger station that I witnessed myself. There are very nice, colourful colour pictures here of the, in presentation, of the turnstiles. Very fancy, nice looking turnstiles. What the presentation doesn't say is that these turnstiles may well have a little arrow that says it's on, but they've actually never been functioned. Not one of these turnstiles in this entire country. Somebody got a nice tender, got the turnstiles put in here, and it's never been functioned. That's why they break it. That's why these people don't come. Start getting the basics right and people stop that. Then, you know, part of the presentation spoke about the building a wall, because that's the answer to our security problems. But let me tell you, in part of our business, I saw how we've got cameras, fantastic, they work. Cameras are working. I actually went to the control rooms where the cameras are where you're supposed to watch. No one's watching the cameras. What's the point? So, if we implement these things, if we spend money, we put this infrastructure, magically it's going to happen. We don't train proper people sitting in front of the cameras, that's how it's supposed to live. People are supposed to be monitoring these security cameras day and night. We have shifts that are supposed to be people watching these cameras and monitoring it and acting up and making sure what's going on so that you can catch the perpetrators. That's why you've got this arson happening. Because it's not being recorded. You guys are not saving and recording the stuff. So the arson is happening in front of the cameras, and you've got no proof. You can't get quite from them. That's what's happening. The pastor's talking about how wonderful they're doing, how things are going to change. I've been hearing it for 5 years. And it's getting worse and worse. You're now below 1.7 million passengers by your own judgment. So Francis doesn't go, and the board doesn't go, and it's looking, what are the reasons why people are baptizing? It's actually talk to people. People in KwaZulu-Natal, people in the Western Cape, have been asking for board members to come and take a trip with us, which is what they ask me to do. The board refuses to do that, they're too important. They're not sitting in the English stocks. Then I'll just touch a few things that have been said. It's been said that you have cases of corruption, being handled and so forth. Please could someone give me one person that's been charged, one case that's been presented to the courts, just one. With regard to the various investigations, including the Worksmith investigation, Worksmith produced 157 reports. Not one single of those, and they mention name and places and new chapter, everything, it's all there. Not one charge, not one charge being laid, nothing's come to court and so on. So all these investigations are happening with their own policy. It's like the cameras, they're there, but nobody's actually watching. In part of the tour that I did in Victoria, is they took me to this control room, and also I listened on the team, the people talking in other stations, I listened to how they controlled the rails. First of all, the protocol, how you speak and how you operate, and the language you use when you're talking to each other, so that you maximize and make sure that you speak efficiently and make sure these trains are running with proper communication. Well, what I heard on there was shocking. It was informal, it was, like we were talking in a bar or something. There's no formality, it's not professional, it's unprofessional. But these are little things that can be sorted out immediately. I keep on hearing how this enormous elephant was going to be dealt with. But it's not being dealt with. Simple stuff. Payments to suppliers. How is it the private sector can pay the payment their suppliers within 30 days? How can they do it? How can they do it and why can't government do it? I'm getting up almost on a daily basis small enterprises. Most of them are overwhelmingly black. You go out of business thanks to PRASA. Because PRASA doesn't pay on time. I'm sure it would be a great study to undertake to find out how many businesses have PRASA bankrupt because of the process. These are not difficult things. It's computer systems that can ensure that things aren't circumvented and so forth. And it doesn't, relatively, doesn't cost a lot of money. It can all be done today. And that's the supporting documents, like here, as if it's not their problem. So my question is, if there's lack of supporting documents, what have you, as the PRASA leadership, done about it? How do you fix the problems? It's the same like an interim board and a board before that. They keep on telling us the problems as if it's not their problem. We know what the problems are. I've read what the general report is. Both the unofficial one and the official one. We know what the problems are. So what is being done? What is being done to make sure that systems are formulated, that there's no circumvention, that you're able to follow processes, that tenders are issued correctly? And these are things that are budgeted for already. But we hear nothing about it yet. And when you get asked to say, what are you doing about it today, they need to come back. So either they need to come back because they don't know their job, they don't know what to say, it should be in their head, or they need to go back and make up more stories to come back to this committee, as we've been hearing for 5 years. That's what's going to happen. I want to know why the leadership in this room can't tell us now, off the head, why they can't fix these problems today. What is stopping them? And if they can't tell us, they should be fired. But then they don't deserve to have a job, they should know. I'm not involved and I seem to know more about stuff than some people in this room. That's scary. They're seeking systems that don't work. I mean, nothing works. People say nothing works. What are you doing about it? So, as I say, I'm in this day off less optimistic than I was 2 months ago. Because at least 2 months ago, I would talk to officials and try to even get a train going in on time or faster, or whatever the case is, and it would happen and you see a little victory. What I'm hearing is rubbish. And no results. Right now, we're talking about trains burning in the country.
Thank you, Chair. I would firstly like to acknowledge the presence of the Deputy Minister and thank you for the presentation from the Board. Chair, this presentation about the bad state of affairs in terms of service delivery, but then also specifically around damages and accidents and issues about bad happens against a particular background. In the 2017-18 financial year, there's been a 17% increase in train derailments. 17% increase. And a 67% increase in fatalities and weight issues, which is referred to in the report, the FWI indicators. In the introduction, Chairperson of the Board referred to the action of passengers that was avoided and seen as a national disaster, as if the interdict by Plaza avoided a national disaster. And I'm a matured enough politician to understand the outcry and potential reaction of commuters if there were no trains. But let me tell you that the true preventer of a national disaster is the railway safety regulator. The true preventer of a national disaster is the railway safety regulator. And your interview against just another notice was not a new one. Because it must also be recognized that there's been 29 provision directors issued against Plaza in the last 2 years. Close to 30 in the last 2 years. Provision directives issued against Plaza. That's why I'm making the statement that the preventer of a national disaster is the railway safety regulator. Because when they issue these, there are particular terms and conditions, and then Plaza reacts to those in the form of an action plan. And the problem is that in retrospect, when the next directive is issued, it's done because no implementation of the previous plan happened. In other words, Plaza is a habitual offender. You reach a stage for the sake of preventing a national disaster that you then hand out a final notice and suspend services. I do not go along with what the Honourable Minister said there, that that the Railway Safety Director must not operate like a speed cop. They are our only recourse against a potential disaster, and they are the ones making sure that our trains are safe and that our passengers are safe. So the findings against this background of a 17% increase in train derailments and a 67% increase in fatalities is nothing short of blatant negligence and an absence of control and supervision. And that is the underlying frustration, because we've seen turnaround plans and we've seen ideas about how to change things. And we are well educated about the current state of affairs. But the frustration is carried on in that we don't see a particular solution, and a particular addressing action plans of addressing very practical things. Practical things like poor maintenance of railway stock wheels, pre-trip inspections, inspection of train wheels. When I engage with staff, they tell me, and I'm shocked to hear, the state that the train wheels are, and that it's not being inspected. It's something I can go and walk down to the railway station and fix right now. But the problem is that there is a huge vacancy rate of inspectors. Improper handover procedure during shift changes. Shocking stories that I hear of a lack of fitness for duty checks during sign-off and sign-on, when employees are drunk. They are under the influence. Fatigue, because then suddenly shorter decisions need to be made. Other people need to work double shifts, which comes down very hard on these additional hours which they have to work. When we talk of, when we get to the new trains, I've got particular concerns around that, because the base concern is one of poor project management. How can we manufacture trains when we don't have depots for them? What kind of project management is this? I'm also concerned of YouTube videos that's been removed in the meantime of where these new trains can operate and the doors can be manipulated so that they can be opened while the train is driving, and I thought this was the one thing which we fixed, in that when the brakes are off, the doors can't open. In other words, when the train is running, the doors can't open because it's linked to the braking system. When the braking system is on, the doors can open. It's a failure. What are we bringing to the people? If we on the one hand say we're bringing true solutions, doors won't be able to open while trains are running, and then I see YouTube videos of those new trains with open doors while running. I have repeatedly addressed the concern of a backup plan. A backup plan, sending some of your 580 buses somewhere in the depot, of which less than 100 operated in the past financial year, to send some of those down to where you know you would have a service interruption. Why must commuters stand on the road and be exploited with higher tariffs when there's no train service when they bought the ticket? When there are buses. Not too long ago, in fact, on was the 15th of August, we had a combined portfolio committee meeting with police, which I found very encouraging. Only based on the commitments. Some of the questions and issues that they raised weren't even answered because they were observed and absorbed. And I got the impression that they would take those and drive the issue instead of trying to just hit the ball back in answers, which is often not called for, but simply a notion of note what we say and please do something about it instead of just backing the ball back. Well, I was really encouraged by the way in which our questions and issues were raised during that meeting. Nevertheless, on the 13th of February 2018, this year, the Portfolio Committee Transport Hours, we were presented with facts around CCTV cameras, and that within 6 months from the 13th of February, all the CCTV cameras would work. In this meeting, which I referred to on the 15th of August, 2018, we heard that the Western Cape had not had functional CCTV cameras since 2015. And we've got trains burning in Cape Town right now. How could we rely on giving evidence to an investigation team from SAPS, who by the way has a forensic team in Port Elizabeth instead of Cape Town where most occurrences happen, which is also something you should pick up in conversation with SAPS. that you can't have a forensic investigation team away from the most frequent incidents. It just doesn't be logical. But the conversation should also happen and be followed up with SAPS, and I would like to know how far that conversation is, so that we don't keep on charging for damage to property, but that we charge for arson, sabotage, and treason, which I regard these plan burnings as. That someone that makes a plan to destroy state property and it can't just be damage to property. Well, how far is that conversation with SAPS? That's someone with an issue we drive and which we've emphasized on that meeting of the 15th of August, but it was very, very disappointing to have that meeting here that the CCTV cameras in the Western Cape hasn't been functioning since 2015. Whereas in this year, in February, we were told by Plaza that everything is sorted out with the CCTV cameras and so on. And then, just to summarize, Chair, I think some of the things which the Minister also said here this afternoon, I must just record my disappointment in that. Because the railway safety regulator is not operating like a speedboat. It has a particular function. It is one of the core elements in terms of an arm's length service delivery which guarantees the safety of our assets and that of our people that cannot be insulted like this, and I cannot accept that. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, one is noticing challenges of the death sickness, death of cables, vandalism, burning of sails. I didn't get well in terms of security. What is Plaza Security doing and is going to do? The reason I'm asking this, surely it looks like the main causes of the protest by commuters is because they can't get trained on times due to the feeling of cable sickness and all other stuff. But I don't get the clear strategy or the turnaround strategy on that base that this issue as a main cause, one of the main causes, is addressed. Then another thing is the issue of the safety critical position. It's about 286, as said. I'm trying to see whether these are new positions in the staff establishment or these are just the patent position in the existing organogram. If these are patent positions, I don't know how can you convince us if there is a monitoring in place to say that these positions did not be filled up until we are seeing a crisis. In the presentation, it is said that most of these critical positions most will be done by December. But the word most, to me, it doesn't give a clear target how many of these vacancies you want to see being filled by December. To say most, to me, it doesn't give me a clear picture. Then again, if you look to the loss, that you have mentioned that 636 million rand in the last 3 or 5 years. You see, if there is nothing that is clear by now, it means a lot of money that can be used will be wasted again. The turnaround strategy or the get on track rescue plan, they must help us in terms of brainstorming what are the challenges that we are faced with as we are listening here. That how do you prioritize it to see that if I go and meet the commuters or any person, I would say the new board has started 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and this is what is tangible, can be seen as a delivery, as expected to be done by Plasma. But it looks, it's a good presentation, good points, number of challenges, good report. We can see what is happening. As we are saying now, when you came in, you had to inherit the board that is in crisis. But now, it's not going to be an acceptable song in the near future in the meeting to say we have inherited. But one would like to see, you have seen the problem. In your strategic meeting, what did you come out with to convince so that these protesters or these people, commuters who are protesting, when if you go and address them, they will see something that is happening? Well, it's good, we can talk about this issue, we can talk about complaints, but the people that we are talking about, they are worried about their lives, their families being killed. Through the ignorance of those people as said that they are paid to use the manual of authorization. Number of more people that do have vehicles in their homes, they are not using vehicles because of the traffic on the road. They are not using their vehicles because they know that it's faster to use the train. But now, if you look at it now, the more accidents we experience in this train, the more people come back to use their cars, and the more traffic on the road, and the more accidents. So surely, as one of the members has clearly said, that transfer in terms of the economy can destroy the economy if it is not attended accordingly. My point is that if we don't have a clear plan or a turnaround strategy right now to say this will be done on that day, rather than say we need more time to solve. What's the more time? Even next year, one is coming and saying we still need more time. But I think the time frames are very, very important. So one would appreciate in the future if we are more on a time frame to say these are the main challenges and we are prioritizing in that manner. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 would be done at that specific time, rather than leaving it open. And I was going to come back here, there will be more fight from us to say, you are telling us the same story that you told us that we have a problem. But we are expecting the board to come with a solution. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you very much, honorable members. Koyama and your team, you can be able to respond.
Probably we will compare with some of the issues
especially the need for us to address some of the basics in our train stations and so on, and to address the pertinent issues that have been observed. But I need to indicate that we are not shy to go to the station to board this train, and we have done that as frequently as possible, because we do understand that it's important to understand what our customers feel, perceive, and experience on a daily basis. Because that's the basis, again, for us to begin to understand and really come up with solutions that are urgent to deal with their issues. I think most of our interventions, if I were to point out, have arisen out of that sort of experience. Out of all the trains we have boarded, whether it's in the Eastern Cape, whether it's here, whether it's in the Southern Cape, and counting. So we have been doing that. And in fact, I think we do it as a matter of course, not just to glorify our positions and so on. Because it's essential that even all executives within the organization do have an appreciation of what customers are going through. So that's basically what we are doing. There are obviously challenges that can be solved in the short term, but there are others that instead require medium to long term. For example, if you talk about the crossroads situation, unfortunately, that line does not belong to us. It belongs to Transnet. But we have indicated correctly what are some of the initiatives that we have been implementing in order to deal with those issues. And I think really that in fact, it's heartening that even Transnet has opened up their arms, they have opened up their own facilities, their depots, in order to creatively look at what can they do for us. For example, the issue of wheels here in Cape Town, they have agreed that they would immediately start a new 24-hour shift in order to accommodate a cluster, because that's the only facility, by the way, that exists here in Cape Town. We've engaged with them, we've looked at their facilities, we've looked at what can they do for us. In many ways than one, we've been troubled by the fact that even though they have all these big facilities, but they've not actually been delivering on the number of coaches that are allocated to them. And that has been a worrying factor for us. Hence these arrangements are beginning to say to them, how should they refocus their own resources in such a way that they increase the throughput in relation to what our requirements are. I think the issue of payment of suppliers, I have already raised that where there are general payment issues that need to be looked at, we actually investigate them and basically pay the people that are supposed to be paid. More so if it's got to do with a capital expenditure. So we definitely do that. And in fact, I would ask you to give me the specifics so that I can deal with the specifics rather than a broad generalization that you are looking to hear. With regards to the, I think the prohibitive directives, in fact, I think some of the issues that are raised here may not necessarily be backed by evidence, because as part of the condition of us
didn't give you the current permit on the 29th of August. We had to demonstrate to the regulator that we have closed those directives, and those that are still open, how those are being dealt with. And it's too sort of interactive with the regulator on those prerogatives that are still open. But they wouldn't have agreed to give us the permit if in fact they thought that there were prohibitive directives that are also that are fundamental to the granting of the license itself. The posts that we are talking about are actually new positions, obviously, because previously we were not filling any vacancies and so on. We have identified these are critical, we have allocated money, and we believe that on a staggered basis, because remember there are those that needs to be filled by the 1st of November, and those we are clear that those will be filled. But others have got different timelines that are contained in the SRPN that they submitted to the regulator. And that's why we say substantively, most of the positions that are identified in terms of the board would be closed by the end of January. And we say all things will be fine, because remember that at some point there were issues with labor on what the requirements should be, who should be eligible for this position. In certain issues they were demanding lesser requirements, but you said, no, we can't concede to that, because these positions are key to achieving what the regulators require from us. So hence we haven't really compromised on that. Labour has since also understood where we stand at the conversation. I think with respect to the insurance losses, we are quite mindful that the organization needs to manage this risk of a banning of a trace, the analysis and the like. Because if we don't do that, this problem will escalate in a situation where insurers will refuse to insure cars. And I think in the previous experiences, it's very clear that if we don't manage this risk, we have we are running a risk where we'll have to self-insure for most of the things that are happening at the moment. And really that's what we have identified as something that needs to be flagged and be managed, be mitigated against at all levels of the organization. We are looking into our security internally as well as what we are sourcing from outside. We have indeed identified that in certain instances we need new leadership to be put in place within the security establishment so that we can focus ourselves on the things that are material to the kind of improvement that we require within the organization. But in some instances, we need to agree that the previous problems in terms of how people were employed are actually contributing to some of the challenges. Hence, we are working with a transfer again to really establish our own training academy so that we are able to emphasize what sort of skill sets, what sort of attitudes that the people need to have in order to manage our own environment. Because remember that in some instances where people choose sides in conflict, they then undermine the stability of the secret establishment. And that's what we've seen in a number of areas, in particular here in the Western Cape. So that's why we are determined that leadership changes will also be quite critical in ensuring that we bring the kind of stability that's needed to drive the processes forward.
Yeah. Chairperson, if I may just add to some of the matters that have been raised, and I think Crossmo is one that I need to do some correction so that it's put into its proper context. When I had the conversation with the honourable member outside, I indicated that somebody had copied on the first WhatsApp message that circulates among Crossmo passengers, and somebody got an email and started copying me on the email. And I also said that I didn't respond on the email because then I did not want any comment that I had made on the email to then appear on Twitter or anything saying the chairperson of Plaza said. But what I did do is take note of all the complaints that the passengers were raising on that email. And I would then go to the managers, whether it's to the acting CEO of Rail, whether it's to the regional manager in the Durban office, and say, what are you doing about this? What are you doing about that? To that end, at some stage when the conversation was, the commuters were demanding a meeting with management, and there didn't seem to be any response. I then spoke to the management and said, what are you doing about this? To that end, the meeting was held on the 7th of September with the commuters. I got a report saying we are convening a meeting with the commuters, and that meeting was held on the 7th of September. One of the two or so of the people who communicate on that email also sent me WhatsApp messages, and I can show a WhatsApp message after that meeting that said, thank you very much, we have met, and we are hopeful that things will become resolved after that. So we know that it's a work in progress, and I really didn't say it's resolved, because even as we're talking outside, I confirmed that this morning there was another message from one of the commuters that was complaining about the delay in trains. So just to say that this isn't a board that just sits in a condition offices and doesn't attend to people's complaints. There isn't a single member of this board who hasn't gone on trains to go and see for ourselves. When we started out, the train visits were all in the public and Halabalu, and we said that that's not what we want, because then people are able to prepare ahead of time and make sure that by the time we come, it's clean and everything. So we go as and when, so that we can see what is happening in reality on the train. I mean, even on Friday, even though it was part of the minister's visit, there were board members with the minister on the train. Have we gone to see signaling areas and all? I'm going to ask our chair of SHEP just to give us a flavor of some of the solutions that the committee has been working with and problems and proposals that have been made to the board specifically on safety-related matters. I think the CEO responded to most of the matters that I wanted to raise on the RSR, but I really would like to re-emphasize that when the license was issued, we reached an agreement around the table with the board of the RSR that many of the issues that the honourable member raises, the 21 or however many, had been raised in the past, had been dealt with. Hence, the conditions that were placed on this license are the 8 that we put on the screen and are addressing to on a regular basis. So we have not left matters unresolved, and we have sat across the table and said, is this sorted out? Is that sorted out? Hence, they were able to issue with the 8 conditions that we have. Honourable Chair members, I should say that we didn't come here to present the full turnaround strategy. because we had two, three specific, not to put it up, but just for me to demonstrate that the short term and that we have put it in short term, medium term, and long term. 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, 12 months. But when we came here, we took out some of those to present to yourself. But even in my introduction, I said, when the committee invites us to come and present a full turnaround strategy, full, not elements of it, that we are bringing in here, we are ready to do so, so that you can see the full picture of what we intend to do and what fits into where. Because even when I introduced, I said, a number of the things are linked. For instance, you cannot procure if your FPF policy is not in place. So we have spent a lot of time going to refine that, make sure that it's proper. In terms of suppliers that have been paid, literally every day we receive 5, 10 SMEs, medium-sized, large companies that say, "Brother owes me, I haven't paid." We go back and investigate. Some of them are found to be valid, as the CEO has said. Others, it's irregular, it's tenders that were not awarded properly, and there was a reason that payment was stopped. And when we get to whether it's internal audit that comes and tells us why they haven't been paid, then we are unable to pay those and the board, because those contracts have already been either deemed to be irregular or have been cancelled. But because a new board is in place, there are people who take advantage to say, "Oh, let me quickly go and say, Prasa owes me pay." So I really would like us to have the sensitivity that when we are faced with the emails and the complaints that come in, we have to go through each one of them and determine how valid they are before we just pay. And many times they are found to be wanting. If I could share with your permission, just hand over to Director Jane from the safety.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good afternoon, honourable members. I'm going to try to give a sense of how, as a shared committee, we've dealt with one having to clean up issues of the legacy, ensure that we address what we have got at the moment, and at the same time also look at the modernising, because those are the kind of three legs that we actually need to be able to take forward to ultimately be able to deliver an effective, efficient, reliable, and safe passenger rail service. And I think that what I thought I should reflect is that against what the Chair and the CEO have shared with you, the processes that we have been making in check and our observations in check have fed through into the work that has been identified. And I think that just to reinforce that the presentation of the whole of the interim track will give a much better sense of where we're going to. But there's some observations that I thought I should make about the reality of what we found as we were constituted with a special committee. The first was a case of silent crisis between the components of PRASA, a lack of the functioning of safety and security committees, and that was one of the first elements that we had addressed, was to ensure that we requested that the security committees were re-established across the entire group, and that they function from national down to regional, so that there is a proper connection and security flow in relation to that. And just as an example of that in practice, there was a Parcel Rail Safety Committee scheduled for today, which has been postponed in respect of the Portfolio Committee, but that is now up and running, and it is pulling together on a national basis the security representatives from the Parcel Rail Regional Security Committee. We also were concerned that there was not an adequate understanding of how every single executive contributed to either exceeding safety and security or undermining it. So we have ensured that in the process that is being driven by the HR or overseen by the HR committee and driven by the CEO of ensuring that cross executives have performance agreements, that safety and security is an integral part of that, no matter where you are in the organization. So you could be in legal and compliance, you could be in Prosser Rail, you could be in Prosser Quest. You will have responsibilities of how you contribute to the safety and security to elements. So that was the one internal processes. The other was a very strong reflection that our relationships with key stakeholders in the state were not where they were. The issues around SAPS, our relationship with SAPS and the other security services as well, that has turned around, and I'm comfortable that we've now got the necessary mechanisms to be able to ensure that the Rapid Rail Police and the MacDrop structures, as well as the border security services, are responsive, and that we've got the necessary mechanisms to be able to interact quite successfully in relation to that. So again, the process of being able to shift us from recognizing a challenge to actually being able to then reach out. The GCO has engaged with his counterparts at that level, and it's clearly being cascaded down to other levels, and we're working far more effectively. We also identified that some of the challenges around the transnet Prosser separation, be it the non-completion of transfer of assets, be it the issues of paying for access to the network, that had not been adequately handled, and we asked that the GTO should engage with that. And I think that his responses have given a good indication that while we haven't solved all of the problems, we've got that relationship going, and there are processes in which the support from Transnet is being felt more directly. One of the elements that came up in relation to the reports from the various components was indeed the issue of maintenance, and indeed the issues of why we were told that the cameras, just to use one example, were not in place. And what came to the fore in relation to that was that there has not been adequate planning around maintenance, work maintenance plans, and the necessary procurement of maintenance processes. So we have tasked the management to ensure that they give us a full report on maintenance that's coming to our chief meeting next week, and it will be a key part of what we'll be able to monitor going forward. But what also became clear, and this for me is one of the complexities of us being able to solve any particular problem. Some of the challenges that were raised in relation to that were problems that lay directly in the supply chain management environment. And until the XCRP had done the work that has been done there to re-establish the supply chain management structures and ensure that there is a proper policy framework put in place, the ability to then go and address the issue of procuring things through that were required was difficult. So there is that interdependency as we go through. Part of the maintenance discussion had also identified the challenge of theft and vandalism, and the issue of maintaining a clean station environment and a clean corridor environment. So we had tasked management to develop an integrated vegetation management plan, and again, it will be feedback that comes to our next meeting. But to say that it's not a process of developing a plan and waiting for some next meeting. That plan has already taken place, and we've already got progress being taken in partnerships with particular municipalities around ensuring that the municipal vegetation control processes are now being taken into our environment where it can be safely done, and assisting in getting the vegetation under control, which is a critical crime prevention component as well as an active protection component. Between the XCRP again and the SHED committee, we've been addressing the issue of the security officer capacity, the capacity to ensure that our commuters are safe, our assets are safe, and we can ensure that we've got reliable and safe processes running. And we've identified the need for us to pin down and finalise what could be in-sourced security capacity, what could be outsourced security capacity, and where do we use technology. We are very concerned about the way in which the outsourcing of security responsibilities has been given, and I think the GTO has already indicated that the process of re-establishing our academy is precisely designed to ensure that we've got security capacity that is particularly trained for rail, and they're not just security capacity who would guard the townhouse hotel, for example, but that they actually understand our environment. I think one of the other elements that is a key part of what we're looking at is the training driver behaviour study, which is a partnership being done with BITS universities. And our approach to that is, while it's a multi-year process, we need to ensure that each shift meeting we're getting feedback from it, so that the GCO can immediately pick up on things that can be addressed immediately and not wait until an end of it at the end. And I think that the issue of the relationship between CASA and the small security companies is a concern that we certainly address both in the CRP and in the SHEP meeting, and our GTO had engaged with the security companies directly around their frustrations in that regard, and it will be an issue that will be addressed on the basis of our insourcing, outsourcing and technology. Part of what I also wanted to just pick up was the issue of backup plans. There has been a lot of discussion in this board, and again, it's an issue that will be on our agenda as we go forward around precisely the need for us to be able to use our bus capacity to ensure that we go the first mile, the last mile, and the mile in the middle when rail, for whatever reason, is being disrupted. But that is an issue that will be addressed by the Chairperson, I hope that I've given a sense of the issues that we've been dealing with at the board committee level, and I hope that it's become clear how those issues have already been picked up on by management in a number of respects. Obviously, we would all want it to have been much quicker than it can be, that the challenges are broad and big, but we are working on it and receiving feedback to it and ensuring that we monitor and provide ongoing support, not just through quarterly meetings, but almost daily interaction with management to take this forward.
Looks like you're done.
Jenny was speaking, and just got reminded of having in the certificate of discussion. Honourable members, it looks like are follow-up questions going or Honourable Robert? Okay. I've recognized Honourable Different Council and then Honourable Sibante and then Honourable Ramatakana will be the last one.
Chair, I thought we were, I'm very confused. I thought we were here today to discuss, to talk about what is the plan. Well, how are we going to sort this out? So, from what I'm hearing, the previous presenters, leadership and board, say they have a plan, and I'd be very interested to hear it. This is what we're here for. So please share with us what you plan to do today, tomorrow, next week, next, you know, 2 weeks' time. And how we're going to save these trains and get rail working again. That's actually what we're here for. So I'd be very interested to hear that. Thank you.
Chairperson, I think 2 to 4 issues. Number one, see, what I want to request, kneeling down and requesting you, would get immediate effect to go and address the issue of the rail smart. That's not a secret. Number two, may you please also go and address the issue of the 88 guards, as Zab already alluded earlier on, because that the appointment of those guards were very controversial due to the fact by the concern which was raised by the unions here in the Western Cape. And then, thirdly, the issue of safety of the communities, staff, and infrastructure. I think it goes along with the cuts. It must also address that issue. For example, the issue of some of the terminals which are still dark without lights which are attracting one to two, which make it very easy to be vulnerable for the people of analyzing. And then with that, it goes along. Somewhere, somehow, we were being promised that we are going to build a very tall, like a bridge to cover the places around the station so that you protect it to the people who are the intruders who are coming from outside without any tickets. We were promised sometimes, but nothing has happened. Last one is the internal control. Please upgrade the issue. I mean, you must empower yourself in terms of the internal controls. As long as you don't have a hand to control the catapult. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Thank you. Chair, I think just in addition to some of the things that the thing that requires our urgent attention, which earlier on has been characterized as part of the law improves. You know, the issue about the signal, I think we should be saying that signaling issue must be resolved. Lots of money has already been put into that. And this whole debate about 71-1980 issue, to be able to ask about the issue about accident, that issue needs urgent attention. The whole thing about the discussion of the end of the month, which is 4 years long walk of devolutionary functions for region to become operational. That has to be one thing that is critical. At least so we can know at the end of the month, I don't know the process, but I do think that there's a talk about obviously the constraint measures because of the letter that we received. In any case, or in any event, our last engagement, there was a promise about a turnaround, the full comprehensive turnaround. So I think we should be, at the same time we get the devolutionary report, we should be able to be privy to the complete picture that we don't see at the moment. The next issue is this issue about a concurrent plan to recover those coaches that some of them are fired, some of them are wrecked, and that some of them are aged. It didn't come out very clear whether there is they talk about a contractor, but it's not very clear what is the focus of that contractor that has been spoken about. Particularly because there are a number of things we can talk about contractor and then interchangeably we think it is what we think it is, but then it's something else. Because the issue about spares, that has been a problem for 2010. Having to be able to buy spares, the contract expire, and all of that. But alongside that, there is this issue about getting back the capacity on the rolling stock, speaking of that. Getting back the rolling stock, the contract, the number that you have lost. It is going to be snowball, this issue about the
because the more and more people get to have access to trade, or then help what they will do, including the criminal elements into that. The partnership issue with the police is going to be fixed now going forward, including of the arrest, the CCTV cameras issue that has been spoken about, some of the brotherhood working conditions. I think that's also critical. The one more important issue, Chair, for reassurance, I think this issue, mainly an issue about the road safety, the regulator themselves, their relationship of the regulator, much as the relationship is a reinvestor, but the relationship is not working. I think we must be straight about it. That relationship of the two bodies not working, including the response, the turnaround of the report. Because how they work, they submit to you, and they ask you to respond to this and how it goes. So that issue, I think, is going to be critical going forward. I do think that the whole infrastructure, rail infrastructure issue is checked. 3 years ago, we were told there's a problem with speed because of the sleepers. The non-maintenance means that the rail already is shaking. It's more, if the train is as fast, it easily derails. So the best thing is to go and take the units down. So that's the issue around the contract and the kind of a turnaround. We need to have a sense of what you are doing about it. Who's going to do, where is the money, and so on. We haven't heard much about, which is something that we'll have to explain to Chair when we come back, the issue of our capacity of transport. They would literally talk about transport taking over, but we don't actually talk about where is the capacity, if you know what we're going to be. My take for where I'm seated, there isn't that capacity. It may well be that in the way of speaking, let's ask Transnet because we can't do it, they can do it, and we think they have a capacity, when they actually don't have capacity to deal with the volume of what we need to do. Hence the contract issue that we bring on board in terms of diversity, the issue of the contract, so that we actually have the skill investment issues. Do we have competent people with the requisite skills to be engaged in the business? This is a hard business, this is a hard engineering business. Do we, that kind of people that we need to be courses for also to be able to go around it. That's going to be critical for us going forward. And the board will have to, unfortunately, drive that particular process. So, Chair, let me end by saying, I think the whole thing about chain component, the chain component, the last time the board before you were working on that, but it hasn't seen the light of day, that kind of issues. So I think the plea here is that the whole thing about the restoration of that is going to be fixed by the forward. So if you ask me, if we were to look at three key issues that we need to resolve, you almost like yesterday, you need to deal with the issues about increasing the capacity of Metro Rail to be able to provide service. So now, the answer to that is empower your region with the power to be able to manage. Otherwise, you might as well just have nobody to have administrators. Third thing is to curb the safety issues coupled with the technology, coupled with the issue of the signal. You have people that have capacity to be able to do that. So the longer you go to sit along without actually implementing the technology. By the time we get 5 years, the technology will be refurbished. So what we have in there, it will be superfluous. We need to refurbish it. The last paying thing, I think we have not talked about it, we'll talk about it later, is an issue about the locomotives. There was a locomotive on the board from Transnet. The last time there was an issue of price, and there was an issue of treasure. There was an issue about irregularities, how that was entered into, and the problem with it. Fixing that going forward, I think, is going to be critical. Alongside of that, we need to hear from the chair, please, if I may say it, when you come back, when you give us a good plan. The locomotive that was purchased, the one that is parked, where they are parked, by the time you finish whatever you are busy with, they will not be able to start. They will be finished when they're standing like that there. I don't know what your plan is going to be going forward, but perhaps you need to think about it, because if you ask me, if you're paying for the service, for that particular service, you should not be spending extra money to go and hire when you have 30 locomotives just spending somewhere. Anything else, you can argue that you use them, they will argue that you already use them, you accepted the delivery already. The Minister of Transport accepted the delivery. That's the DG of the transport. So the delivery was delivered. That has happened. We have the goods. So we're not going to get out of it. I think it's an issue that we need to look at. And the whole contract arrangement that go with it. You remember that they passed a test from the regulator in terms of the testing, but they withheld the license because there is no maintenance there. We don't know what that process is in terms of maintenance plan. That's another area that you have to present when you come back in terms of it. If you start using them, and what is that going to be? I think, Chair, for me, I've said a lot and we have repeated myself on one of this issue, but I think we must be much clearer as what this committee will support the board, will support the process because we understand that the poor, the working class, are only means of transport. It's trade, it's nothing else. And therefore, we must do everything in our power to make sure that these 3 months that we have to be able to do certain things. And I'm telling you, can be done. With the caliber of the board we have, the people we have here, that can be done. All it needs is the work to do it. This is the place where you need a condemnation of not taking a long route to find a solution. That you can do a condemnation, you can do a certain thing to all of these things to be able to address this. This is the crisis. You don't have to deal with this crisis. It's not a normal situation that we're dealing with. This crisis situation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Ramatakana.
I'm sorry, Chair, to do this to you, but I just want to what my colleagues are saying. I would really, really also appreciate if you look at projects, small projects, basic projects that are the committee for that involving the community. Along the way, maybe cleaning of the benches and things like that, to be involved the youth sector in the community, involve women. So that you also have, you know, a buy-in of our community around the area. We are going to target local communities around the areas where the rain infrastructure is. Because I think that is very much important if we want communities also to take ownership. They must have a sense of also being involved in what is happening, and we just do whatever we are doing with big things, but also making sure that we are doing well. Chair, the other one that I think is very much important, and I think it's a totally basic. It's a basic and simple communication strategy. I think, you know, communities are frustrated by small things, not big things. I've really realized that there's a problem with communication, and they get information that they are already in the station, they're waiting for the train before the train is coming. So I think I'm not talking about a big strategy, but that ongoing communication with the community, using even community radios, not the big radios like the UCO, small community and community newspaper. And by so doing, you are also facing some kind of employment losses using those local newspapers, community stations, and community local newspapers. So for me here, I'm just emphasizing and adding these soft issues, but we just got a lot of impact over and above that has been done.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. We certainly can't afford to have another board. You must see this through. And at the end of the day, it's about re-establishing confidence on the part of building trust to restore reputation. And those are the three important building blocks which must be evidence-led. It can't be stories, it can't be ideas, it can't be empty promises. So, Chair, I don't want to call this a motion of confidence, I want to call this a motion of expectation. Because we are coming from a position of disappointment. So therefore, it's a motion of expectation and a motion of support, because you must see this through. And we're looking forward to seeing the evidence and the restoration of reputation, trust, and confidence. Thank you.
Whatever motion that has been put forward, it's a motion.
The only thing I forgot to raise, I listened to the radio this morning, 7:02. The driver never got coming, who was interviewing the group CEO. The impression seems to be that the fatality, 7:02, the fatality rate in Pasa increased a shot up between last year and now from 200. So I think that would be, if the facts are not so, maybe it would be corrected in the media statement. Was there any injuries? But injuries interchangeably with the fatalities. It's completely a different picture, I think, to be corrected. Because otherwise it shows that there is a problem with the fatalities in that period were going to rock at 300. It's just something that I think we need to take care of.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Maybe I just want to highlight a few things that comes from your corporate plan. They were supposed to be my introductory remarks in the morning, but I chose to take a different route. Amongst other things that you have indicated was that you're going to improve the level of information of infrastructure, but particularly the transport networks and the operations, we are going to make sure that we decrease the accidents and the incidents, particularly talking to issues of vitality, which actually I'm just reminding you that this is what you tell me yourself that you will be doing. You will improve infrastructure, you will improve access and mobility, particularly in the rural and the peri-urban areas, which you don't really see, because you're just too close to the challenges which are happening in the metro area. Critical is that you will make sure that there is reliability, there is accessibility, efficiency, effectiveness, and public safety in transport. I take it that as you're executing your task on a daily basis, this to me, especially the last one that I've spoken to, reliability, affordability, accessibility, efficiency, effectiveness, and safety in public transport arena are the things we should be able to drive you on a daily basis to say, this is what we are going to spend ourselves that we would like to see happen. But the other thing that I believe we should be able to think through and say, what are the immediate and quick things that we can be able to do? Customer safety and security is very, very key. You know, besides talking about the fatalities which happened and other things, there's money of people in training and all these other things which are happening, which actually we should be able to say, how do we deal with this type of issues? Because they are very critical. You know, the word customer is key. For me, it becomes a very important point of how do you make sure that this customer is very important to the work that you're doing. And that is why we not be as a portfolio talking to issues of revenue generation and revenue collection. Because we know that there is reduction in terms of people who are utilizing your infrastructure, utilizing the facilities of Brava, and therefore it shows that the customer is not okay, but the customer can be utilized and But I think having said that, these are the things which actually highlighted in your covering plans. I don't think you need to go, for sure you know your covering plan by head and by heart. So, to me, I should say that so as you intend working and making sure that the turnaround becomes something that is very realistic, the question that SMSs are circulating about group cities, what was happening yesterday in terms of the BC which was taking place? Very disgusting, I must say. Yesterday there was a DC which was taking place. Very disgusting, to say the least. I don't even want to go into that. But I can tell you that as we are here, all of us, many of us, we are thinking as an emphasis of what exactly was happening yesterday. For the fact that people know that we are here with you, they were thinking as an emphasis to say, this is what the DC was all about in Kaur. Kind of hungry, but you know, very embarrassing. I don't want to talk about what the SMSs are saying, but it's very embarrassing to say that groups go and look into it, get the people that we have appointed, the consultants that we have appointed, and say, in this country, we've got the Labor Relations Act. In this country, we've got institutions that if they are failing to do the work, the CCMA, the Labor Court, and all these other things, but also to hold a policy that we should follow up. How do we deal with disciplinary processes than what we are reading in this SMSS? And I think I need to really put it at that to say, focus on making sure that the wrongdoers are punished, but at the same time, your job is to make sure that public transport has been raised to the commuters in the Republic of South Africa. We've spoken about issues of safety. Minister has clearly said it, that as you are looking at Gaza, you must also, at the back of your mind, remember that the criminal justice system in the Republic is found wanting. And those are the things that will assist you as Brasa to say, you are fighting this battle. But where is the community-driven intelligence in the whole situation? You are fighting this battle. Where are the courts who will be able to fight criminals and be able to adjudicate over them as you are fighting this battle? But amongst us, somebody has indicated that, you know, it looks like it's sabotage. It looks like we are seized with a bigger than meet the eye kind of a situation. The president can go around the world looking for investors. When we disinvest by banning, by derailing, by doing all these other things, then the mission and the objective of the president goes down the drain. It can be right that he goes international and say, come and invest, and we are doing negative things. It means we are derailing the program of the president of the Republic of South Africa. But I want to say, DDG, who is the DDG for rape? You only arrive now when you have finished. You know, it becomes very important that you have, you need a DDG to have somebody who's got the finger on the pulse and be able to guide the department that this is what it should be. As the portfolio committee were crying and crying about under expenditure of the capital budget. And you are coming tomorrow, people want it. DG, I think you are coming tomorrow. Yes. Yeah. Hey. Who's the big fan? I will show you a thing or two. Because you have really disengaged. If you had not disengaged, Brasa wouldn't be where it is today. Because you can't have a DDG in charge of rape who actually in your report, you've got two paragraphs. I'm going to say two bad paragraphs about Brasa. What does that tell you? It tells you you don't even know what is happening in Brasa. Better than we do. Because now I'm telling you about the DC of yesterday. I can tell you about most of the tenders as to what is happening. Because we get information. That is why when I talk about intelligence driven by the community, I'm not talking of abstract. Get it there from the source. Even when I sit here, I'm able to sit at the station here and watch whatever is happening. And I ask myself, oh my, we need more cost. What are people who should be able to gather information in this respect to ABC, and be able to assist. We are the people who are supposed to be gathering intelligence and be able to sit in an executive meeting or a board meeting and say, what are the things that we have picked up? How do we infuse this into the operations or into strategic thinking? When the paradigm shifts, why are you still there? Not shifting with the paradigm. Because there's so many things that we should be able to do in terms of outward looking, in terms of outward thinking, how best do we deal with this portfolio. So this is a very important portfolio. And then, well, in the Department of Transport, without PRASA, a whole lot of things really, think of the budget of PRASA. If that gets removed, then what really happens to the department? But I also wanted to say, as you are complaining about Transnet, a year or so ago we had a meeting with the Portfolio Committee on Public Enterprises to deal with the challenges that is there between PRASA and Transnet. It cannot be right that there's certain infrastructure which belongs to PRASA and certain infrastructure that belongs to Transnet. This is the infrastructure that was developed by the resources of the public in the Republic of South Africa. Can't be right. And the argument there was, it's wrong for Transnet to charge PRASA as it's using the lines that belongs to Transnet. Can't be right. They all belong to Republic of South Africa. Why should that be really happen? If Transnet is seeing that they are not using these lines, why not say we will not be using these lines and then we are able to prepare on site to make sure that there is proper maintenance of those lines as compared to them disengaging and then you are experiencing problems and then there will be vandalization and burning of trains just like that. I really believe that the unfortunate thing was that when we were supposed to meet with the two ministers, the Minister of Public Enterprises then could not be able to make it, but we still want to believe that we need to meet with the Minister of Public Enterprises and the Minister of Transport to be able to deal with this impasse. We need to make sure that the portfolio committees that are supposed to be dealing with this question are able to sit down and say, how do we make sure that we pick you to a higher trajectory? Let me say that I want to give the last word to the FTDG and then the chairperson of the board will come afterwards and then probably we'll consider our way forward. FTDG. Umuntu wakufika sesifana uzwenza i-vote of thanks noma uzwenzani.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee, colleagues from the PRASA Board and colleagues from the Department, thank you very much. I wouldn't say much, Honorable Chairperson. You know, I observed the Portfolio Minister spoke about here, so I would not try to dwell much on that. Suffice to say, maybe I agree with the motion of confidence and expectation, which came from the Portfolio Committee, one of the members of the Portfolio Committee. I really appreciate that.
Motion of expectation.
Of expectation and trust on trust. I really appreciate that, that was quite good. But as I said, the minister has spoken. So what we did while we are discussing this, I had to engage with my colleagues on the JCPS cluster. immediately after this, and just to make a follow up so that we can have a speedy meeting and a meeting of minds of the four ministers. We have included the Department of Justice and Coast Development, because we feel that the minister was quite correct in saying that you arrest people today, they get a fine of about 500 rand, they are out of the street again, they continue with the vandalism. So, with the four DGs, we are going to be meeting and making sure that we pass the way for and present to the four ministers first before we take it to the JCPS cluster so that we can see how it goes. So, we are very much worried what is happening, but that is what we are going to be doing. I fully agree with the community intelligence. It's very important because these people who are burning the trains and doing the horses of vandalism and stealing tables, theft and so forth and copper, they are the people who are really sitting and living in the communities, and also with these people, they know them. So that intelligence, Honorable Chairperson, you're quite correct, I fully agree with you. I think let's strengthen that as part of our discussions with these clusters, especially the state security, as well as the NICOC of principals. We will make sure that we highlight and flag it in such a manner that we strengthen that so that we know where we're going. So, well, but I think talking, bringing our sister, you know, the entities together to talk, I agree that we need to come closer to them so that they find each other before they are told by court as to what to do. So we are taking it up seriously. We are having a very good meeting after this one with the two entities just to make sure that they see eye to eye with each other. So that's what we are going to be doing so that we minimize talking past each other and so forth and so forth. We respect their independence and we respect their mandate, but we need to just to intervene on behalf of the shareholders so that we are on the same page. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I just wanted to say those few words. I know my minister would not like this because he has spoken, but I just wanted to highlight two things. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Kabisa. Mayor, can you see the prayer? I mean,
thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. I don't think we have much more to add. We came and presented, we have had the input, we have had the comments. We appreciate the ongoing constructive criticism, and we take all that on board. And indeed, when we do come back to the court, we would ensure that we give you much more of what you would like to hear that moves the vote to one of confidence in the fact that we are doing the work. But on behalf of the board, I'd really like to thank you for the support and also thank the board members, because I can assure you that we do have a team of board members that are committed, that want to make sure that we leave Brasa different from the one that we found. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Brasa board and team from Brasa, the team from Department of Transport. We have scheduled you for the annual report, budget review meeting, supposed to be next week, pending the submission of the report. Yeah, don't look at me like that. That is what we have then scheduled you for. And we hope that the report will be in before the end of the week. We are meeting the AG tomorrow. We just hope that they will get it. But this time around, we're not going to take it lying down. We want your report to be submitted so that when we do go and present our report in Parliament, it includes Brasa's report. I want to thank you. It wasn't that bad, honey. Could have been worse. Because you are telling me that I should have told her that she's going to be that school girl who will always be buttons on the, whether on their fingers or wherever. But it wasn't bad. And from time to time I would see the smiles on your faces. And I hope before we go on recess, we are going to come to do oversight, if it means doing oversight over the weekend. We will do it. We're coming to do oversight over Prasa, so that we can be able to check and establish what he has said to us, if those are true. And we will make sure that every member can be able to really say, indeed, you are telling the truth. I need to remind you that, can't remember which year, we wanted to go and see the Niger factory. When we arrived there, going to the factory, they told us that there was a short turning some few months ago. We wanted to go and see because we thought that the factory is functional, but when we arrived, there was no factory. There was no factory. So don't tell us the things that you know would not be there. So I'm saying that whatever you have said here today, probably we will start here. Maybe we must do an announced visit so that people don't even prepare for us. We just do our work before we go to Parliament in the afternoon. We go via Kraaifontein, we via Kylie Chair where it's 50% or so, for ourselves, and then we can be able to hold you accountable in a true sense of the word. I've just received a note here, and I'll take it back to you, Chairperson of the Board. This is a question that has been asked by the newspaper, and we don't want to answer it. The question is, what is happening to the new cars that we have bought? Why are they not operational? What was the reason why you bought those cars? So, we don't want to answer that question, Tina, because we are not operational, and that is why we are putting it to you.
How they can expeditiously put the trackers and
and provide these vehicles to the regions that needed the most. And so that's now being finalized. But it's something that is investigated through the board. Why this vehicle was not but it's part and parcel of what we basically inherited in the past. The system for purchasing the vehicles was not consistent with how normally it is to be done.
Was it done procedurally? For how long are the cars standing?
I think in terms of our investigation, they were bought between January and December and January, basically.
Last year?
Thank
you very much. You see, when I speak about the WhatsApps that are coming through, every time that probably I need to close my budget when I need a meeting, because you get this type of information to say, coming from one of the journalists asking, these are the things that this is what is happening. At least you have clearly, you can be able to deal with it internally to say, these are the things that, some of the challenges that we found, and this is how we're dealing with these challenges, and then it becomes an agenda that is true. Thank you very much, everybody. There's tea outside, and the meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.